Joined now by Tom Rennie. He is the CEO of Hockey Canada, a good friend of the program and hockey fans everywhere. Tom, thanks so much for doing this. How are you today? First of all, how are you and your health, your family's health? Is everyone okay?
Thank you. I'm doing really well. My family is good. Everybody's healthy and happy under the circumstances, and I wish and hope for the same for all of you, and thanks for having me.
Well, listen, the pleasure is ours, and as you well know, there are a lot of people that, given these circumstances right now, wake up every day and feel a lot of pressure. And a lot of people, hockey parents, all across the country are looking to Hockey Canada for a lot of guidance and instruction on, when it's safe, what's it going to look like. I want to get to that in a couple of seconds. But over the past couple of weeks specifically, and this has hit a new sort of crescendo, a positive one, with the Hockey Diversity Alliance, with Akeem Alou and Trevor Daly and Anthony's brother Chris, Matt Dumba, Evander Kane, Wayne Simmonds, and Joel Ward. The Hockey Diversity Alliance is very much a thing in hockey right now, looking to promote diversity at all levels. I know that has always been one of the mandates of Hockey Canada, but what are, if there are, plans to go above and beyond what Hockey Canada is already doing?
Well, I think, first of all, like most of us should under the circumstances, it's time to be introspective, and look at what we're doing, and what we need to do better, which in lots of cases is significant. And I think that goes with any walk of life in any domain and anything that we are doing as a culture, certainly in Canada, but globally. So I think we've got to be introspective. At the same time, the Hockey Diversity Alliance is an outstanding movement, and I can only imagine that could swell in numbers by the credibility of the people that have had this experience that too few of us have had, and we've got to pay attention to that. So number one, introspective. Number two, reach out, ask for help, help in auditing what we're doing, how to do it better. Recognize the most important voice of all, and that is that's the participant in this case. Racism is certainly, unfortunately, alive in Canada, and we can't hide from that, and certainly Hockey Canada won't. But we certainly can't be so arrogant as to think that we've got the solution and the answers. We need help, and we're not afraid to ask for it.
Great answer. Stewie?
Tom, I'm not sure you may or may not know, I'm a minor hockey coach as well in Toronto, and parents have been calling me pretty much every day since the pandemic happened. So one question I'd like to ask on their behalf is, the rinks are slowly opening now. Do you see there being hockey in the start of fall, and do you see it being 5-on-5?
Great question, Anthony, and good to hear your voice again. I think so. I don't know what it's going to look like. I think it's safe to say that we'll be on the ice. I don't know what the configuration will be, to be honest with you. I don't know how many players are allowed in a particular square footage or whatever the case may be. I think we'll be on the ice. I think there'll be hockey. It might evolve into games again. But initially, I think it'll be small space work or at least divided ice work. I think it'll pay close attention to skill development and the enhancement of collaborative play, not confrontational play. Ultimately, we'll get to some type of a 2-on-2, 3-on-3, maybe 4-on-4. Again, the size of that environment remains to be seen. And 5-on-5 hockey will return. I just think we have to be, if it's at all possible, for hockey players and people in hockey to be patient. We're going to have to be patient and really pay attention to what the relevant health authorities are telling us, not just at a federal or provincial level, but even at a local level. And that's the only way we're going to get through this, so that we can actually play hockey and be active as a citizenship in other sports in the long run, is to pay real close attention to the short term.
Justin?
Tom, I know that, we do want to get into your personal background and into more on that with you, but I think for a lot of our listeners, I would just like, maybe you could give us an education on what the big blanket of Hockey Canada covers. I think a lot of us think of Hockey Canada as the group that puts together our Olympic team every year, and I don't think that people necessarily understand the scope of Hockey Canada and how you guys are dealing with probably different regulations by province here. What exactly is Hockey Canada made up of for the people who don't really understand how vast an operation it is?
Thanks, Justin. Yeah, it's big. It's certainly bigger than I anticipated after leaving 25 guys behind a bench in the NHL, but it's it certainly takes an enormous amount of competency around me. Let's just start with that, because without the people I work with, I'm not very much. So that being said, it's a big reach. We're talking about children that start in the game at 5 and 6 years old at what is now called the under seven age group. Used to be called the initiation program. It starts there, quite honestly, and every province has that startup hockey, if you will. And then it works its way through right up to and including, in most cases, certainly at the provincial level, junior A hockey, which falls under the jurisdiction of the provincial member, which is what we call our member branches. So from 5 and 6 years of age, right up to 18, 19, and in some cases 20, and even groups like the Canadian Hockey League, who operate as a partner of Hockey Canada, and identify with their own set of rules and the jurisdiction they're in, but recognize too the Hockey Canada mandate across the board for development. It's very, very large, and it's not just boys, it's girls for sure. It's not just stand-up hockey, it's para hockey and alternative hockey. It's all of those things, and you alluded to it, Justin, when you spoke about sort of the regulations and the bylaws and the governance that goes along with every minor hockey association in Canada, which is about 3,200, I think, and then with that being said, at the provincial level, same thing, and then on a national level, and we also have a responsibility internationally to the International Ice Hockey Federation, not just to serve up national teams that can compete for world championships, but also to serve up as a development partner with them, and you can appreciate, I hope at least, how significant a role that is for us and the expectations that go along with that.
Joined by Tom Rennie, Hockey Canada CEO. Tom, over the past little while, we've been talking plenty about underprivileged kids and how do we get them on the ice? How do we get sticks in their hands? Anthony himself goes out of pocket himself because people did it for him, mm-hmm. He'll point out quickly. He does that, goes out of pocket to make sure he gets kids on the ice and gives them an opportunity. Is there anything that Hockey Canada can do, considering we haven't had a national initiative to build things like rinks going back to the 1967. That's why there are so many centennial arenas, as you well know, mm-hmm. All across the country. There hasn't been that national initiative. Is there anything Hockey Canada can do to address that very real issue?
There have been real good programs that are in place now, and you allude to something that's very real, and maybe more so now than ever before, and that's the impediment that the cost to play might in fact serve up for families to get involved. But we have in partnership with KidSport, Jumpstart, the Hockey Canada Foundation, we have startup programs whereby at a nominal fee, you can experience hockey for example for a 6-week program, $100. You get equipment, you get on the ice, you get instruction, you get the opportunity to almost test drive the sport and keep the equipment. That's a starting point for sure. But KidSport and Jumpstart do an excellent job too of a similar program whereby nominal fee, if at all, kids can get into the game and give it a try. And that's really important. We believe too that, Bauer and the National Hockey League's Learn to Play program is essential to making sure that kids can access the game and, anyone for that matter. It's really important to do that. And this time in our lives is really serving up as an opportunity in a number of ways to get reacquainted with sport and activity in general. Mm-hmm. Sure, we all love the game of hockey and we hope that that's the game of choice. But what's as important here as anything is that communities feel the support, from an economic perspective locally, provincially and federally. To get kids active again, because if we're not careful, we are on the verge of a sedentary lifestyle anyway before COVID, where we're on the couch with our digital device and not getting active enough. And so we have to make this a priority, with the help of the federal government, provincial governments, municipalities. We really do, in fact, have to put as much as we possibly can in terms of resources into getting kids active, keeping them active, and making sure that whatever it is they do stands the test of time.
Stewie?
You put a lot of your personal touches on the Edmonton Oilers when you were coach there and an executive there as well. Do you have a personal interest in them doing well these days? Do you keep track of how the Oilers are doing?
I keep track of all four teams that I had something to do with. Two of the four I was fired from, Anthony, and one I wasn't re-signed. But you know what you do? And I think you do too, as a former player and the teams that you played with and the relationships that you were able to forge there and just the love of going to the rink and sharing that experience with people. That hasn't changed for the Oilers. It hasn't changed for the Canucks. It hasn't changed for the Rangers, and it hasn't changed for the Red Wings. I just feel privileged to have had the opportunity to be a part of all of that and certainly welcome the opportunity to encourage others to reach hard and stretch for their dreams too.
Justin?
being in the role that you're in now, and you laid it out beautifully for us, all the complexities involved with being in Hockey Canada, is there a part of you that looks back at your time, you know, as a coach and just thinks, boy, I'd like to get back into that? Like, would you want to get back into the actual, the hockey side of it and less the businessy side of it now that you've done so much of this work, I guess?
You know what? It's a great question. I really think that I'm kind of a philanthropic guy anyway, and I've always been had that sort of that development gene, and not just for what goes on the ice with players and individuals, but you know, just building people in general. And I'm certainly getting the opportunity to be a part of that process here with Hockey Canada, from coast to coast to coast, with a volunteer basis second to none, with member branches that dedicate so much of their time, you know, to the same thing. I'm right there. I can tell you there may have been a point in time very early in my transition to Hockey Canada where, you know, maybe being, you know, back behind the bench or in his executive position with an NHL team might have been something to consider. I do not any longer. I really don't. I identify so much with, what good we can do as Hockey Canada, the responsibility. We have to own our stuff, and believe me, we've got a lot of work to do, and we spoke a little bit of it earlier when we talk about equitable opportunity and racism in the sport. Like, I look at things like that, and you just say, I want to be a part of fixing that. And you know, at the end of the day, your legacy, as much as we love to see the Stanley Cup on our mantle and whatnot, it's really about the people and what you've left behind, you know, in terms of, the next generation, if you will, and looking to pay it forward. I think that's the ultimate legacy. And certainly as Hockey Canada, and for me, I've got a lot of work to do there, and I hope I'm up to the challenge.
Tom Rennie joins us, Hockey Canada CEO, and we've talked a lot over the past 3 months about changes. You know, we all know what's happening right now. We're curious what happens when the NHL returns. Like, I wonder if Handshake Alley at the end of series is still going to be a thing. I wonder if, you know, 23 players drinking out of the Stanley Cup, time after time in the dressing room is still going to be a thing. I don't know. I don't know the answers to any of those questions. But at a minor hockey level, Tom, I think it's folly to say that, you know, COVID-19 is going to come and go and everything's going to go back to the way it was. I think there'll still be fumes and there'll be changes because of it. What do you wonder about? Like, are there things in the game from a youth sports point of view that you wonder if maybe we've seen the last of?
Yeah, that's a good question. I look at it from a couple of different points of view. Just programming in general, I wonder about the opportunities that will exist for our female players, from 5 and 6 year old girls all the way up to and including our national team players and those that compete for Canada on that stage. I wonder about the opportunity and the momentum that may have been lost with respect to female coaching and the opportunity to develop female leadership in general across the country in sport. Again, not so specific to hockey, but just in sport in general. We have to get reacquainted with that, no question of it. I think we have to get, we've started to anyway, and you know, we have to get reacquainted with the art and the emotion of playing hockey. We can't lose either. And, you know, whether that, has a physical or social distancing component to it, in perpetuity remains to be seen. I sure hope not, because you know what? I'm a hugger, you know, and I'm a handshaker and all those types of things. And personally, I need that, you know, and I need the interaction of the sport, you know, whether I'm a fan watching it, in a local arena, or whether I'm seeing it on TV or whatever. I need to be able to identify with the emotion of playing as well as the beauty of the skill of it all, you know, and then the story that goes into each and every one of those athletes at whatever level that gives them an opportunity to participate, you know, and be something extraordinary. It might not even be, you know, a female national team player and an NHL player. It might be the fact of the matter is we might find the cure for Alzheimer's because a young person that's, you know, elevated themselves in the medical field with the help of having been a hockey player, you know, and experience that interaction and that camaraderie and that teamwork and that ability to develop resiliency and resolve, you know, all of a sudden they're extraordinary in the field of medicine, and they've come up with something, you know, that helps our whole entire existence be better. I look at all of that. I'm certainly, as you can appreciate, a pretty big picture guy. And yet to look at sort of the micro level, I wonder about the same things, Jeff. Will we be 3 feet apart on the bench with 9 players for 2 more years? Will we have one official on the ice, and are we playing half ice games? You know, will we get back to the opportunities that exist for adult rec hockey to the point where they can play the game for a lifetime and young people can aspire to that? Or will these restrictions prevent that from happening? You know, first and foremost, it's about our citizenship, you know, and I think hockey speaks to the very fabric of our existence. And you know what? Lately, some of it has been exposed, and I think rightfully so. And so what do we do to correct that? How can we recalibrate and identify with Canadian citizenship, whether you're a new Canadian, whether you're an Indigenous person, whether you have a specific handicap, whatever the case might be, how do we get back to making sure hockey is a very much a part of what we do moving forward and embrace every aspect of it, even that which we need to improve upon, as something to be better at? And I just, that's how I look at this, and I have the similar concerns, and I'm about 4 hours a night as it is, for obvious reasons.
We understand, and that is, we all have, you know, similar. I wonder about a lot of things too. Like I'm with you, Tom. Like I wonder about things like, you know, just from a minor hockey point of view, are tournaments in jeopardy here, and if so, for how long? I'm with you. Like, what are benches going to look like? What are rooms going to look like? Are parking lots going to be full of, you know, parents watching Instagram live because they can't sit in the stands to watch their kids? I have no answers. Yeah. There aren't any right now.
Yeah.
There's none.
That's such a good point, you know, and you mentioned earlier just the word change, which, you know, I think some of us have been changed out, myself included, and I don't look at that as a bad thing. It was actually turned out to be an unbelievable opportunity because it expanded sort of my view of myself and ultimately helped me understand what I was even more capable of than ever before. Who would have thought that, you know, a kid coaching Junior B in Cranbrook, British Columbia in the 80s would end up being the CEO of Hockey Canada, you know, 40 years later. I mean, it's incredible, you know, and so there is opportunity in all of this too. We have to just slow down, decompress, recognize, respect, and appreciate each other, and look to collectively, you know, look for our solutions. It's really easy and important to point out the flaws. No question about that. But now let's unify. And I'm seeing this across the country now too. Let's unify and identify with solutions on how we can actually improve things, even under the circumstances that may or may not have restrictions to them. But how can we improve on the circumstances so the experience continues to be second to none? And I think that's the ultimate objective.
Great point. Stewie.
The Olympics have been a hot button topic as of late. So do you see NHL players participating in the next Olympics?
I sure hope so, Anthony. There's a reason for that. I'm sure growing up yourself, you know, you watched, you know, your peer group as world junior players, for example.
Yeah.
You know, you watch the National Hockey League, you watch the Olympics, and you aspire to that. And what we need is the best on best as much as we possibly can to inspire, again, that 5 and 6 year old little girl or little boy to play, you know, or inspire someone to, you know, work harder in school or to pursue that degree or whatever the case may be. We need to see best on best excelling, you know, and I sure hope so. I can tell you that last, I guess it was October, maybe, really good discussions with the IOC, the NHL, the IIHF hockey, USA Hockey, and ourselves, just on the prospects of the NHL and the Olympic Games. And I think Gary was even quoted as saying that, you know, this was a very good start and something that he really did not anticipate, you know, with the IOC's approach, which was, in my mind, outstanding. And the dialogue was great, and it was certainly pointing in the right direction. You know, how COVID interrupts all of that, I really don't know. But let's hold our breath, not for long, and hope that we can get it done, because, you know, we all need a shot of energy here. We all need a shot of what's best for everybody. And I think National Hockey League and the Olympics is what's best for everybody.
You know what, Tom, if it doesn't work out with the NHL, you know, Stewie's on the inlines every day. He's back on the ice. We've seen him with the trap bar. He still holds records at Matt Nichols' gym. I think that, you know, with this right motivation, this could be a renaissance for our man Stewie.
I'm happy to hear that. I watched Stewie play and on skates, and I'm glad that he's taken the inline effect. He scared me as a player, big, fast, could play any way he wanted to play. And I always knew I had to try to coach around him because the last thing we wanted to do was get him fired up. And so I'm glad that he's got the blades on.
Thanks, Tom.
There you go, trying to get you back in with Hockey Canada, Stewie. Come on, bud, I'm working for you here. Tom, this has been a lot of fun. Hey, listen, Grand Forks was wonderful for Stewie. Tom, this has been a lot of fun. We really appreciate your candor. We appreciate your time. I know you're very busy. As you mentioned, 4 hours a night, and I'm sure that's not exactly the truth. I'm sure it's probably even less. Thanks so much for stopping by. Continued success and continued health. Look forward to catching up down the road.
Thanks, fellas. Keep up the great work. Appreciate it.